After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
I knew people were going to like it, but I didn't know how the horror community was going to like it because they're tough. They're brutal. And I was so thankful that they enjoyed it.
It's insane, right?
Welcome to Lightweights Podcast. Today's guest, we have Jenna Davis, voice actress of the movie Megan.
Bulletproof, nothing to lose. Fire away, fire away.
One of my favorite horrors. She gives us a behind-the-scenes look of what life was like for her when she got the role, how voice acting really works, and the behind-the-scenes of some horror secrets.
I auditioned for it in my closet. Like, I auditioned for it on my phone. Like, I still have the tapes from when I auditioned for it.
Are you putting it on your face or you're just reading into the voice memos?
Yeah, you're reading into the voice memos. So imagine me crisscross applesauce on my floor in my closet with my phone.
Not to mention the sequel might be in the works. She's also a massive content creator on TikTok, YouTube, a singer, songwriter. She does it all. So make sure to hit the follow button if you haven't yet. Leave a like and leave a comment down below who else you want to see on the podcast. So without further ado, Jenna Davis. I can't believe you're here. It's insane, right?
Oh my gosh, that was great.
No, it wasn't.
I enjoyed that.
Do you ever walk around the house just like saying it in the Megan voice?
I mean, sometimes, but not really. I don't know. Like, I catch myself saying phrases like insane and things like that, and then I automatically like think of Megan.
It triggers you back to that.
Yeah, it triggers me back to that. But I don't like walk around my house talking like her.
You're not singing Titanium.
No, I'm not.
So you starred the voice in the movie Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge hit.
So yes, yeah, cool. Crazy.
When it first came out, the trailer had 2 million views and was trending. Did you kind of have a feeling that it was on to something special right away?
No. No clue.
When did it start to sink in that like something special was happening?
You know, after the trailer started blowing up, I was like, oh, people are enjoying this. But I did not want to get my hopes up until it actually dropped in theaters. So I tried to just, I don't know, I tried to not think about it because I wanted everybody to enjoy it and I wanted it to be really well received, but I didn't want to expect that it was going to be well received. I wanted to be like without any expectations. And I think that's kind of how I portrayed it and like went into it, because I feel like if you go into something with really high expectations and it doesn't perform as well, it's disappointing. And I didn't want that experience to be that for me.
Totally. And it was such a new concept of like this AI robot.
Yeah, I didn't know how it was going to be received. I feel like it was either going to be adored or everyone was going to make fun of it. But I think the script was too good for it to be like made fun of. I think, I don't know. Like, I knew people were going to like it, but I didn't know how the horror community was going to like it because they're tough. They're brutal. And I was so thankful that they enjoyed it.
They are very brutal.
They are. I mean, they like what they like and they don't like what they don't like. And so I was nervous because coming in, like bringing a whole new horror character is scary.
And this was your first step into the horror genre, correct?
Correct.
Because prior to that, what were you doing?
Primarily comedy. Lots of comedy. It was from like Disney, Cartoon Network, Disney Junior, Disney, very much comedy based. So this was a whole new genre. And especially like not even playing like the victim, but playing the villain.
The leading character of the movie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Can you break it down how you got the script and when you first read it? Like, what are the steps for you in auditioning for a big movie like that?
I didn't know it was a big movie when I auditioned for it. I had no clue.
What'd you think it was?
I had no clue what it was for.
Was it just like one paragraph and you had to read it, or were there...
No, I got that it was titled Megan, and I knew that she was an android, like an AI type of robot type of thing. But I don't know, I was expecting something like Siri or like Amazon Alexas or something like that. I had no clue it was going to be an entire like AI doll.
Oh, you thought it was like a little device.
Oh, I had no clue. I had no clue. I was like, okay, this is a character named Megan. It's an AI. Interesting. But I didn't want to play it like Siri or Amazon
Alexa. Like more like monotone.
Yeah, I didn't want to play it like that because I knew... that it was, I didn't know what it was for, so, but I assumed it was like maybe like a movie or a television show, so I knew it wasn't a commercial or anything, but I thought in my head, who would want to watch like Siri and Alexa for like hour, like an hour or 30 minutes? I'm like, nobody would want to watch that. So I kind of sat with the script a little bit and I thought, let's make this an AI robot with sass and flair and personality. And just see how that's going to be received. That's kind of how I go into, like, any audition is, like, making a choice and trying to separate myself from everybody else that's auditioning. And they're either going to love it or they're either going to hate it. Like, there's one, like, there's no other option. So, I mean, in my case, in Megan, thankfully they loved it. I talked to the director after I booked the role and he told me, he's like, yeah, you stood out from everybody else because of the choice that you made. So he's like, continue to do that because that's going to separate you from people in the room, because I think everybody who auditions is probably a fantastic actress, but it's, can you make yourself stand out from everybody else?
And you've done traditional acting and voice acting.
Yes.
Did you know that this was a voice acting role?
Yes.
Okay.
I did, because I auditioned for it in my closet. Like, I auditioned for it on my phone. Like, I still have the tapes from when I auditioned for it.
And when you're doing that, are you putting it on your face or you're just reading into the voice memos?
Yeah, you're reading into the voice memos. So imagine me crisscross applesauce on my floor in my closet with my phone. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
When you sent it in, do they ask you to come in so they can like see you do it? Mm-hmm. Or do they ask for like, okay, here's another few paragraphs. Can you run this through?
I mean, it depends on the project. But for Megan specifically, I kept on getting redirects is what they call it. So they would have me like adjust a line or ask me to correct something to test to see how fast I can, you know, adjust to redirection. And so they would keep on sending me redirects and I was like, oh, interesting. So that obviously means they have some interest in me, but I never like to get my hopes up because I've been so close in this industry so many times and it has gone the other direction. So I don't like to get my hopes up. I just like to keep doing my best, put my all into the character. And if it's mine, it will be like, it'll happen. So with Megan, I just kind of kept on auditioning, you know, kept on getting those redirects. And then they asked me, do you sing? And I said, yeah, I sing. And so they had me sing Tell Me Your Dreams, which is in the film. And I sang that, sent it back, and they were really impressed. And they said, hey, can we jump on like a Zoom call with the director? And I was like, okay. But still then I thought it was a director session. I didn't have any idea of like me booking it. And so I hopped on the Zoom and he's like, can we just talk about Megan and like the character? And I was like, sure, absolutely. So we just kind of sat and talked about it, and he asked my perspective, I asked his, just to get a little intel. And like, you know, I thought I was gonna have to keep auditioning after this, so I was trying to like fish out anything I could get to book the role. But at the end of the call, he asked me if I was ready, and I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, are you like ready? And I was like, ready for what? And he's like, you know you booked it, right? And I was like, I did.
Did your agents try surprising you like that?
No, I was the one who told my manager and my agent. Like, this never happens.
Jenna.
But he told me, like, yeah, you booked it. They didn't tell you? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, well, I guess I'm the one who told you. So then I called my manager after, like, freaking out. And she's like, okay, well, don't get too excited yet. Let me just, like, clarify this is actually happening. And, you know, and sure enough, there it was.
So when you're getting those redirects, mm-hmm. I mean, now, obviously, seeing it, but, like, were you like, okay, this might be mine?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's, like, a pocket of you that hopes so, but I think being in this industry for so long and being so close to so many things, I've kind of uncoupled myself from that, and instead just going in, like, okay, how can I do the best at this role and this character, and if it's going to be mine, it's going to be mine, because I've experienced a lot of rejection. And as any actor or actresses do, like, in this entertainment industry, I would say it's probably 92% rejection in this industry, and you just have to be okay with it. And so I don't really like to fall in love with any role until I book it. I'm going to give it my all and I'm going to do my best, but I'm not going to fall in love with it because it's going to break my heart if I don't get it.
Did you always want to do voice acting?
Yeah. I always have. My first job was when I was 9. I did a Haribo Sour Gold Bears commercial. And that was my first ever voiceover project. It's so fun, and I really enjoy it. And you can go to work in your pajamas. It's great. You can go in your sweats. It's anytime. It's really quick most of the time. I mean, it's a lot quicker than like an on-camera production because there's not like a glam team. There's not a whole crew. It's usually just like you, the director, and the sound guy.
And then the director is coaching you on how they really want it to sound?
Yep. The director is going to give you that direction on how they want the character to sound. And sometimes they give you more freedom to explore it yourself. But for Megan specifically, it was super collaborative.
What's the difference between recording a voiceover for a movie versus a commercial?
Commercials are a lot shorter. You know, commercials are a lot, like, they're shorter. So they take a lot less time to do.
Could it be done in an hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say so. And I mean, it depends on the project. I mean, there's so many projects out there, so it really just depends on what you're doing. I mean, you can do a series and it takes months.
This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweight's podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, and with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Or you can do a movie and it takes a couple months or a couple weeks or a couple days. It just depends on the project and how many lines you have and what the director really wants.
So when you get that role from Megan, mm-hmm. how long until you guys start recording the audio? Are you the first steps for the whole movie?
No, I was post-production. I came last.
Oh.
Yeah.
So then when they're filming the actual movie, they're just having someone like dub it in and then you come in and do it?
Yeah, I came later.
Did they send you photos or anything of, like, how it's going or what you're going to look like?
No, because I didn't know I booked it when they were filming.
Oh, they already filmed it and then they gave it to you.
Yeah, I auditioned for it, like, later on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For filming a movie, how many days is that?
Depends. It really depends. It can be 3 months. It can be 6 weeks, 4 weeks. It really just depends on the project. Everything is different. And especially like if you're on location, if you're on a soundstage, it just depends.
Have you done it in like people's houses where it goes out for commercials or TV shows? Or is it always in like a studio lot, like at Paramount?
I think there's like two different ways. So there's like on location or like on a soundstage. So I've done both. I would say I've worked more on location than I have worked on a soundstage. So I enjoy both. I think soundstages are really fun because it feels like you have a bit of a home, versus on location is very like you're in the middle of a field and you have a trailer and you're just, you know, there. And when you have a soundstage, it's like you have a dressing room. And like when I worked on Raven's Home, for instance, it was in a soundstage. And that was super duper fun because the set was already there and built and you had your own dressing rooms and everyone kind of had like their own little area. But for instance, when I shot Lisa Frankenstein, that was on location in New Orleans. So some of the times we just had like our trailer like on base camp, which is not even on set. So when you're on set, you're sitting typically in like those little chairs that have like the, you know, like the little names on the back of the thing. Like that's kind of where you're sitting. It's not super glamorous. I think a lot of people think like I don't know. I mean, I think if you're like Adam Sandler or Jennifer Aniston, you know, you're at the point in your career where you have worked so much and worked so hard. Maybe it's more glamorous then, but I mean, in the beginning, like you were, you know, you have like your little trailer and you're not even really in it because it's at base camp and you're going to be on set. So you're kind of sitting in one of those little chairs and just waiting for your turn.
Lisa Frankenstein's a new film coming out, right?
It's already out.
Oh, it's already out. Mm-hmm. What was your role in it?
So my role was a very like dumb cheerleader named Lori, which is super duper fun. I never really got to play dumb before, and it's super fun to play dumb because you don't really have to think about anything. You're just have no brain cells.
Yeah.
So that's what my role was. I had a pretty small part in that. It was a supporting character, but I really enjoyed it. Zelda Williams was the director, Robin Williams' daughter, and who was her directorial debut, and she's incredible. Incredible.
Did you see it in theaters yet?
I did, yeah. I went to the premiere, and it was so awesome, and then I went to go see it in theaters. And it's really fun to go, like, into theaters in your own movie, like, where you're in, because a lot of people in the theater, like, don't know you're there, but you're just, like, chilling. Like, on Horror Nights, Megan had, like, this whole thing where people were like dancing and they had this whole entire experience, like Megan experience type of thing. And I was there and they had like a big old statue of Megan and it said like voiced by Jenna Davis. And I was like, this is so cool. But I didn't really want to like give it away that I was there because I wanted people to enjoy the experience, not focus on me. And I went there and one of the Universal like employees was like, oh my gosh, you're like here. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to check it out. He's like, that's so cool. Like, oh my gosh, you're like here. And I was like, yeah, like, this is so fun. Like, this is so cool. So it's, and I got to enter the experience and like see how people react, like how people's reactions were. And I'm just like in the back chilling and nobody knows I'm there. And it was so fun. It was so thrilling to see how people were like reacting to it. And I think that was like one of the best experiences for me, for Megan, was like going to the premiere and seeing how people reacted to it. It was pure magic that night.
Is that one of the craziest things? The fact that like your art is just coming out of your voice and you're creating a whole character and now people are like taking it home with them and talking about it and impersonating it.
It's really surreal. It really is. I didn't know how it was going to be received. So it is really such like a blessing and I'm so grateful that people enjoyed it and like love it so much. Like I had no clue, like no expectation at all. And I think it just made the reward of the film doing so well even more exciting. And it just, it's seriously crazy.
Were you a fan of horror prior to this?
No.
Terrified?
I was so scared. But now that I've been a part of the horror film and I did another horror film in August called Stay at Home, which I'm really excited about, where I'm like actually on camera. I've really enjoyed horror films. I won't do anything demonic. I refuse to do any of that because I'm a woman of faith and I'm not going to mess with that. But there's a lot of other elements of horror like kidnapping and like, you know, for instance, like Megan or there's some crazy stuff like that that I've had a lot of fun diving into.
Can you speak on Stay at Home?
Yeah, no. So, I'm super excited about that.
When is that coming out?
I hope next October, but I don't know. We'll see. You know, you always say that and then it gets like pushed back. But that's going to be a thriller, and I'm super excited about it. I'm the lead. I have an older sister in the film, and it's kind of about our friend group. And I don't want to spill too much, but there's like a virus, and yeah, it goes a little crazy, and we're all called to like stay at home. I don't want to go like too much into it. I don't want to give it away, but it's kind of super early for me to talk about all of it right now, but it's going to be really great, and I'm super excited. And I got to do it with a lot of my really close friends, which was super duper fun. My older sister was Lila Pate, and then Jack Griffo played my boyfriend in the film, and it was a Screen Life film, so everything was filmed like on our screens. So it's based off of like Zoom, FaceTime, all that type of stuff. So the whole film was like thing kind of like missing that Storm Reid was a part of, but like the entire movie was a Screen Life film.
Did you see the dailies of it yet?
What?
The recordings of it?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
I'm really excited to, though. I think they're all in the post-production process right now, but I'm very eager to see it.
Do you have to do all the grunts and, like, the, like, if she's running? Mm-hmm. And then are you just giving, like, 10 different variations of that, and then they just pick whatever?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what it is. Typically, it's, like, grunts or sneezes and different things like that. It's only a couple. But some lines, like one of the lines in the film, we did 37 different ways. So it was just 37 different ways of saying the line because we weren't really sure how we wanted it yet. So the director and I were like, okay, again, 37 times for one line. So it was crazy, but we got what we wanted. And I think that's kind of what made it what it is like we just had a lot of fun playing around with it. We played a lot, which I think really affected the film in like the best way, because Megan, yeah, she was a villain, but I think so many people fell for her like fun personality.
What was the line that took so many times?
It was the scene where she's playing the piano and she gets really upset. It was that one, because we were playing with how upset do we want her to get, because Katie's in the other room. It was like this whole thing, like our minds were spinning.
When you leave set that day, what do you take away with you?
You know, at the end of the day, I'm pretty much just ready to eat and hop in my sweats. Because when I'm on set, I'm like in such focus mode that I don't really think about anything else. Like I'm just there and I'm just like in this character. So then when I leave, I kind of have to leave that character there and leave that character where it was, like in the room. Right. So most of the time I'm like, Mom, I'm hungry. I just want to watch a show. I want to relax. Because it is, as much as it is like physically exhausting to like speak for that long, it's mentally exhausting too, because you're thinking about how many different ways you can do it and how you can make it better while you're doing it.
What do you watch for fun, like after you finish that?
I love to watch like older shows like Fuller House or Boy Meets World, or just like super lighthearted like shows.
As an actress, are you analyzing how they say it and the cadences? And
I try like not to, because I think it ruins it for me.
Yeah, it wouldn't make it fun, right?
It wouldn't. You know, like there's so many times that I sit and I'm like, okay, that was a scene. They just said cut. They just said action. But I really try not to watch film and television that way, because I think it ruins the magic. And I think there's a beauty of watching television of how we're in movies, of like how we're supposed to, instead of thinking so much about it. Because if you do, it's just gonna like ruin it for you.
Do you have a favorite voice actor or voice actress?
Yes, Jodie Benson, for sure.
What does she do?
She did like The Little Mermaid, and it's like so many of the princesses. I just grew up like I would love to do like a Disney princess role one day. My dream role is there's a movie called Thumbelina, and it's like a little fairy, and I grew up watching that movie, and that is like my dream role.
Do you practice how she would sound?
Yeah, because I grew up like listening to like the soundtrack of that film. And my mom was a piano and voice teacher growing up. So we would always like sing those songs together. Those are some of like our favorite songs of all time.
Does she help coach you?
No. I mean, a little bit when I was younger. But she was very classically trained in an opera. So she never really wanted to push that on me, because she wanted me to find my own voice. And sometimes when you're classically trained, it can all sound kind of similar in like musically, because, you know, it's like classical music and it's supposed to be done like that one way. And since I wasn't really pursuing classical music, she wanted me to find like my own voice and my own lane. So we played a lot like around with like country and pop music when I was very young. I listened to a lot of Leanne Rimes growing up, and Dolly Parton, and yeah.
And then it's just you and your sister?
No, I don't have a sister.
Oh, I thought you said you had an
older sister in the film. Yeah, see, that's where lines can get blurred. It's just me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an only, so it's my mom, my dad, and I, and then my dog.
You're a hustler because you also have a massive YouTube platform, TikTok. Like, you're killing it on all social media.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I see myself as a stool, I always say. I have, like, three legs, my acting, my music, and my social media leg. And whatever one I'm not working on, I'm working on the other because the iron's hopefully always going to be hot in one of them, so I can always be continuously working. Because I feel like I am the most... Well, I guess I'm the best version of myself when I'm working. I don't like off days. Like, I do not like to be on vacation for long periods of time. It stresses me out.
And then even when you're on vacation, are you TikToking and coming up?
Oh, yeah. Always. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. It's just become, like, a part of life now. But I don't like having off days. I feel I don't perform as well when I'm not busy.
There was a stigma years ago that you couldn't really do social media and be an actor or actress. Do you think that stigma still stands?
No.
Do you think having your social media platform helped you get roles?
I'm not sure if it really helped me, but I think it's been really substantial for me, and I've really enjoyed it, and it's been another creative outlet, because acting is never guaranteed. You never know when you're going to get your next role, and so I've been able to be creative in different ways while I'm not working, which I think has fueled my improv skills. It's fueled, like, the ability.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
To create and think on the spot. You know, when it comes to, like, coming up with content ideas, it's like kind of going a little bit behind the scenes of, like, okay, I'm coming up with, like, the creative lens of this idea. And I don't know, I think it's helped me, but I don't really know if it's helped me, like, get any roles. I do think, you know, like, if someone sees my platform and they're like, oh, well, she has a platform, so that could be helpful for the film. But then again, I think, I don't know. I think yes and no. But do I think I would have, like, did I book Megan because of my social media? No. I mean, there were so many articles that came out about that that were like, social media star. And I'm like, I was an actress way before I did social media. Social media is just something that I picked up on and enjoyed doing because I like to be creative. And I think it's cool to engage with other people. And, like, you kind of have, like, a bunch of friends that, like, kind of support you. It's a very cool world. But I mean, acting and, like, music was always my first love, and social media just kind of came after, because I realized that I think it's going to be something big, and I realized that there's so much fun you can have with it, and there's so much, like, new things that you can do.
Do you think that they also go hand in hand with helping each other sharpen your own skills?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you said something incredible before, that you edit all your own videos.
I do, yes. So I think it definitely helps.
Because you get to understand the cut points.
And, like, you respect so much what people do behind the scenes. You know, I think so much credit is given to, like, the artist or the actor, which is great and well-deserved, but there's so much more that goes into it. There is a whole crew. There is songwriters. I mean, there is so many people that should be given a lot more recognition that I think don't get as much recognition, because it's always so much on the artist and the actor or the actress. But, like, you got to think, like, there are crew members working their absolute tails off and songwriters that are writing these incredible songs that don't get enough recognition.
And you get to do all of that on your channels.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Editing my own videos, I think, has been so crucial for me because I know what I want and I'm very picky with my editing style. And I don't do anything crazy, but I think it's very hard for me to give up that to somebody because I'm so picky. I've had editors in the past and they would like zoom into my face or do like weird things like that. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, please don't do that. Like, no, no. So I just kind of resorted to doing it myself.
I've noticed with people who are like you on set, they kind of like poke around just trying to like learn from others.
Yeah, you learn the most when you're working. You learn the most when you're on set or when you're in a writer's room.
Like, is that curiosity with you too?
Absolutely. I think you literally learn the most when you're doing it. Like, I cannot stress that enough. But the hard point is like, can you get there to do it? It's like such an honor to even be on set and to like get the audition that I think that's like the best experience you're going to get. Like, yes, acting classes are great, but you're going to learn the most when you're working and you're in an environment where everything's moving and going and changing all at once.
What do you think you took away from being on a horror movie like that and bringing it to your channels yourself?
What do you mean?
Like, did you see a way that the director was able to talk to the actors and you're like, oh, I can do that when I'm filming with my friends just to like get my ideas across better?
Sure. I mean, what I loved about the director, Mr. Gerard Johnstone, is he knew exactly what he wanted with the film. And those are my favorite type of directors, is when they have a vision that's so strong that they know exactly where they want it to go. And I think that's where I've kind of sat down on the music side and on the social media side of like, you got to know what you really want to get it delivered and to get it executed properly, especially when it comes to music. You know, I'm in the process of curating an EP right now with my label, and I really know what I want with it. And I think that has what has been made the process easier of like selecting songs and like putting together a whole project is because I know what I want. And I think that's so much has stemmed from like learning from these directors of they know what their vision is so they can go after it. I think it's so hard to go after something if you don't know what you want with it.
So when you get a script like Megan or any of the other shows that you've done, is it pretty much that's what it is? They don't really make adjustments on the spot?
When you're auditioning for it, no, not really, because they don't really have the time. You know, like, they're auditioning so many people that they don't typically have the time anymore to say, hey, change this, change that. It only really comes down to, like, the top three people that they can really give notes and advice to. Because, I mean, I think they would really like to. It just comes down to a time thing. And because not many auditions are in-room anymore. When you're in-room, you had the opportunity, like, for the casting director to give you a redirect on the spot.
Was that prior to COVID?
That was prior to COVID, yeah.
Oh, so now everything you do is just on Zoom.
I mean, rumor has it there is, like, a few projects that are, like, in-room. I personally haven't auditioned for anything in-room yet. Everything that I've done is self-tapes. But I think there's a bunch of pros and cons to going in the room to self-tapes. I miss the connection of, like, seeing the casting directors and interacting with them and like getting a feel more for the character when I'm in the room. Self-tapes, you kind of just have to like make a choice, stick with it, and hope for the best. But the good thing is you can do it as many times as you want versus like when you're in the room. It's like one take, one shot, here we go.
Do you have a prep or a ritual before you're doing a recording? Like, do you have to gargle salt water?
No. I just do it. I mean, any time, any place. I don't really like to do anything too crazy for my auditions. I like to be pretty toned down, less makeup, nothing crazy in the wardrobe. Just keep it pretty simple so they get come to see me authentically. Unless it's like a character that's super like glitz and glam, then I may put on a little bit more of a fancier shirt than a tank top. But for the most part, I try to keep it pretty bare so that I can leave the imagination up to them.
So even if it's for a regular voice, you don't have to do vocal warm-ups and, like, singing, like...
Not really. I mean, if it's singing, like, I can do a little vocal warm-ups, but I'm the type of person that just likes to get going and just run with it and have fun and make a choice and go with it.
Do you rehearse the roles with a coach or anything?
No, I don't coach. I've never really booked from a coach. I've only really booked from my own choices.
You're an anomaly.
Well, I don't know about that, but I've only booked for my own choices. So I was like, I don't think I'm going to go and spend money if I haven't really had any success with it. Because I'm like, if they're liking my own choices, I guess don't fix what's broken, you know?
Right.
But I do think it's important to coach. And I do think it is important to get guidance from those who are in the industry and that you know, like, I'm not against coaching, but for my auditions, I just don't, because I've never booked from it. So I always just kind of go in, make my own choice, and go with it. Do it a couple of times. I'm not the type to tape for hours. I do it in, like, 2 to 3 takes, because I think the less takes that you do, the more authentic it's going to be. And if you over-rehearse it, it can be overdone. And especially with roles I've been getting lately where you have to, like, cry and different things like that, the less authentic it is, they can read that. That's why I like to do my takes. I don't like to do, like, I just like to keep it small. I like to do, like, do the scene maybe 2 to 3 times, pick my favorite from that, and send it in, because I'm like, this is the most authentic version of it.
Are there any animated shows that you're really impressed at of the vocal abilities from these actors?
Oh, my. One of my favorites was Phineas and Ferb. Just like a childhood favorite. But I don't know. There's so many, like Avatar The Last Airbender. Like, there's so many different ones that have so many talents. I mean, I think voice acting is such a talent. And it's so cool to see how people can, like, manipulate their voice in so many different ways. So I just have a lot of admiration for voice actors in general. I don't know if there's, like, a specific project that I'm like, this is the one. But I just think in general, it's really cool to, like, watch voice actors do what they do. And I'm honored to be part of that community.
It's so cool. Have you been to any of those horror conventions or anything yet?
No, I haven't. But I will be attending some coming up. So I'm really excited about that. I'll be really excited to, like, meet people face to face. I love, like, human connection and, like, putting a face to people's name. Like, there's so many people on, like, my Instagram or, like, my YouTube channel that have watched me for years. And it's really cool to be able to, like, meet them in person. When you, like, watch them support you for so long, you feel like you're friends with them.
Do you have a gratification for when you post a YouTube video? And how does that differ from when a film is released or a show is released?
You know, it is very different, because it's a whole production versus me and my camera just having fun. So I don't like to have a lot of expectations of myself and my YouTube channel. I just want to have fun, and I hope my audience has fun watching my channel. But I don't like to set big expectations for myself, because YouTube is hard, and I've been doing it for so many years. And so it's really easy to have this expectation of, like, yes, my video needs to get this amount of views every single week for me to be satisfied. But as long as my audience is enjoying what I post, I try to see it through that lens versus, like, performance. But of course, it's really easy to be like, oh yeah, this video did great, this one didn't, what can I do different?
Because I think you can learn. 1 out of 10, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can really learn from, you know, what does your audience like and what your audience doesn't like. But you also have to do what you like too, because the most authentic self and the most, like, relatable you are is, like, I think the most, like, attractive to a viewer, because they want to feel like they can either relate to you, or they want to feel like that they have a good time when they're watching you and it feels authentic and it's not fake or forced.
When you're on the set of something, where you spoke previously that the marketing for Megan was incredible,
they killed it.
Do you take something away from that, like, oh, I need to apply this to myself when I'm doing just the way that you present yourself for your own career?
Yeah, I mean, I think marketing is super duper important. I mean, obviously, as myself, I don't have, like, the budget to, like, go crazy mass marketing. But I think there's a lot of ways that you can do it, especially, like, through TikTok and Instagram and YouTube Shorts. Like, there's a lot of self-marketing that you can do. I mean, we've seen musicians blow up on TikTok through just themselves promoting their music. And I think that in itself shows how valuable social media marketing really is. But I mean, like, for Megan, they did an incredible job on marketing. But I think it also has to be attracted to, like, it also has to be attracted, like, by viewers. Like, some people can put a song out there or a project out there and it just might not hit. But it doesn't mean that it's not good. It just means that it's not attracting viewers. And that can be a very difficult thing. And that's why I'm so thankful that people enjoyed Megan in the way that they did. Because there was no guarantee that just because you have a marketing campaign doesn't mean it's going to blow up. I just think, like, I just think it's so hard because you never know. Like, I talk about this with my friends in, like, the music industry who are, like, trying to promote their music. I'm like, just because you put your song out there and it doesn't blow up on TikTok doesn't mean that it's not a good song. Like, but sometimes it's just things that, like, hit different audiences differently, and that's why it blows up. It doesn't have to necessarily mean it's not a good project or a good film, but I think marketing has so much to do with it, and it's, like, consistency. Like, you've seen so many artists just be so consistent with their releases. And with Megan, they just did such a killer job of like picking out the right points of the film to show to get people excited. So I just think there's so many different variables that go into it, but you can't beat yourself up about it if it doesn't go, because I think there's a passion behind like the song and the script and whatever it is that you're promoting that you can't let affect you if it doesn't perform well.
You have such good insight and understanding of everything about it.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I just think I've grown up in this industry and I've kind of learned, you know, you're going to beat yourself up if something doesn't perform well or if something doesn't do well. And in the end, all that matters is, do you have passion for what you're doing? That's all that matters. I mean, I heard from like a really wise director that said, it doesn't matter how big or small the project is. Do you have passion for the script? That should be the answer if you want to do it or not. It's like, do you have passion for this project and this character? That's the same thing for a song. Are you passionate about it? Because if you are, I think it can go anywhere. And I mean, it's not guaranteed, but you don't know if you don't try.
Do you have a circle that you run things through, like your mom or anything?
Yeah. I mean, my family, I'm very conscious about their opinion. Like the first person I ask when I get off of stage or like a set is my mom. I mean, my mom's not allowed to come on set with me anymore because I'm, you know, over the age of 18. But when it comes to music, her opinion means everything to me.
So you show her the demos right away. Like, what do you think?
Right away. Yeah. And I do get disappointed if she doesn't like it because my mom is a very brutally honest person, but I love her for it because she prepared me for this industry. She's my biggest fan, but my biggest critic. Like, she will tell me if anything, like if anything's up, she'll tell me, which I have a lot of respect for because it's prepared me a lot for this industry, because it's not a kind industry. And especially in social media, like, people are going to say anything. So you just got to be buckled up and ready.
Was she taking you to all those auditions when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my parents sacrificed a lot for me. We moved out here when I was 11, and my dad was still working in Minnesota, and he would come out here, fly here every weekend. So he would stay Friday to Sunday, and then he would go back to work in Minnesota Monday through Friday. So that was like our life for a couple years. My parents sacrificed a lot for me. They're still together, still happily married, but it was hard because I didn't get to see my dad a lot. My mom didn't get to see my dad a lot, but they sacrificed for me to be out here. So I wouldn't be here without my parents. And I think like one day, hopefully if I ever win an award or do something like that, like I know the first people I'm going to thank is my parents because it wouldn't have been possible without them.
And are all three of you here now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually my parents live in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. So my parents live in Nashville, but I have an apartment out here and then I live with my parents, you know, whenever I'm in Nashville doing music. So it works out great. And I'm able to kind of, wherever I'm working is wherever I am, and it's the best balance, and I love it because there's so much beautiful things about Nashville and so many great things about LA, and I kind of get a mix of both. So wherever I'm working is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. You spoke in another interview that the industry is a marathon, not a race. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's how you're doing the social media, like when things slow down in movies and then when something picks up, then you kind of slow back on the social media and you start focusing on that?
Yeah.
And then, like, pilot season comes around, you start hitting that hard.
Yeah, but I mean, there really isn't a pilot season anymore.
There's not?
No.
I thought there was. Like, every January?
Not really. I mean, pilots happen all year round now. There's not really a pilot season anymore.
Because of Prime, Hulu, Netflix?
There's so many streaming services. Yeah. I mean, you get pilots, like, sometimes all year round now. It's not, like, a designated season like it used to be. Like, when I moved out here, it definitely was. It was, like, pilot season, episodic season. Not anymore.
So is that exciting for you, being a young actress, like understanding Absolutely. All these changes?
There's a lot. There, you know, the industry is constantly changing every day. But I think it's exciting to know that there's not like designated seasons anymore. I kind of prefer it because you never know when something's going to pop up.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. You never know what you're going to get.
I feel like you get hit with surprises left and right, like pilot season, sponsors, yep. New video collabs.
Absolutely.
Like every day your email is probably popping.
I mean, some days, yeah. I mean, it just kind of depends on the day. But I constantly try to, like, keep myself afloat and busy. Because it's really easy to, you know, get caught up in, like, one lane where you're like, oh, this is slow right now. But instead of focusing on the slowness of one, you can just focus on how can I improve myself in other facets. And then this one will pop up and it will become fast again. Just because there's different things. Like, there's different busy times for different things.
Right. You became a meme at one point.
Yes.
Do you think that kind of helped condition you for just social media in general?
Yes, I think so. I've been two memes in my life.
Two?
Yes.
What was the other one?
It was a Drake meme and then Penny Nickel Dime.
Okay.
Yeah, there was two. But that time in my life, I was very young, and I gained 200,000 followers from those memes. So I gained a lot of a new audience, and my engagement on my accounts at that time were absurd because people were arguing in the comments constantly. But my mom kept me away from it. My mom at that time saw the amount of hate that I was getting and the amount of comments that I was getting that were telling me to, like, end my life and all these, like, terrible things that you can't even comprehend why people would say this to someone. But my mom was super cautious of me seeing any of it. So she kind of refused to let me look at any of the comments, which I'm very grateful for, because being like 15 years old reading those things, I don't think would have been beneficial for my mind at all. So my mom kept me away from a lot of it, but I've never really been super hate conscious. Like, in the end, if someone's gonna comment something hateful on my account, I know who I am, and I know what I do, and I don't really let other people tear me down, because I love what I do, and I'm not going to stop doing it because one person that doesn't have any post and has a chicken as their profile picture is telling me to stop doing what I do, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't, it's like the same thing. Like, you can't let anybody tell you what you can and can't do. Like, this is life. You're allowed to have fun and try new things. Why not? And, like, do your passions. I think, like, that's what life is all about. Do what makes you happy.
With trying new things, do you think that's your secret sauce to such a long, because you've been doing it for so long and yeah, you're killing it now.
Thank you.
You've been killing it the whole time.
Thank you. But I mean, I think you can never just stay in, you can never just stick your hand in one bucket, because there's so many other buckets that you can, like, dive into. And I think that's what I've learned, is just learning and trying as much as you can to just keep yourself afloat and keep yourself busy and keep yourself passionate and just keep yourself excited about life. Because when you have, like, busy things going on, like, you're excited about life and you're doing it. And I feel like you're going to have your mind less focused on, I don't know, for instance, like, in acting, like, it's so easy to just, like, want to keep swiping up on your email to see if you get an audition. But if you do that every day of your life, you're going to go stir crazy. And so that's why I always tell my friends, if you have other passions, do them too. If you want to go work at a coffee shop, go work at a coffee shop, because at the same time, you're going to be learning another craft that is going to keep your mind away from that. So if that's kind of slow, you're not going to be infuriated with it, because you don't want to lose your love for the craft. And so that's why I think is, like, if you can dive into so many other different things, like, that's why I do social media, and another reason why I do music, because those are my two other passions. And when acting is not moving anywhere, I have those to focus on. So then when an opportunity does arise in acting, it's like, woohoo. And it's the same thing for music and the same thing for social media. It's like, when social media is slow, something in acting is going on, I'm focusing on that. And so I'm never thinking, like, oh, this is never going to work out for me. It's going to be like, how can I make this work for me?
What other buckets are your hands in now?
Like,
now, are you, like, focusing on YouTube because it's working? And I mean, you're doing, like, three other things.
Thank
today.
You. Yeah, no. So I acting, music, and then I post on YouTube once a week, post on Shorts, and then TikTok, and then Instagram and everything multiple times a week. But it's just become such a habit for me. Like, it's just what I do. It's a part of my life. It doesn't feel like a job anymore. It feels like this is what I do. Like, this is just a part of my day. It's another way to express myself creatively. So those are kind of, like, my three main buckets. And then I'm also going to dive into a little bit of, should I say this? I don't know. But I would like to dive into, like, a little bit of maybe, like, clothing and selling a little bit of stuff like that, like, diving into my own branding and my own brands potentially. Like, I don't know, like, you look at some amazing creators that have created really cool brands for themselves, and I definitely have interest in that. I mean, I don't know when it will happen or if it will happen, but I think it'll be fun to explore something where you can create something. But I want it to be something that I'm so behind. Like, I'm so, like, it's curated from me and not curated from somebody else. It's like, this is Jenna creating this and doing it, if that makes sense. Because I want it to be super authentic, and I want my my audience to know that this is me behind this and that this is authentically me. Because I think that's just how I've been throughout my videos and just throughout my career, is just like being myself. Like, what you see online is pretty much what you get in real life. And so I think that's what's kept me and my audience bonded and, I guess, growing, is that I'm just being myself, and people are either going to think I'm annoying or people either are going to like me, and I can only be me.
Why do you think your audience connected with you so well? Like, what is it that you're bringing to the table that you think resonates with them?
I don't think I'm afraid of putting myself out there and being weird and goofy. Like, the other day I did a cover to Texas Hold'em by Beyonce, and I got so much hate for that. But it was probably because I wasn't afraid of just goofing off. Like, I wasn't just singing and looking into the camera. I was dancing and moving around and having fun, because I didn't care if I looked pretty. I was just having fun. And I was just didn't even sing some of the words right. But I didn't care, because I was just having fun. And that's all that matters to me, is just like having fun with what you do and having passion for what you do. And I think that's going to like resonate with your audience, because they just want to have fun too. Like, when they're watching, like when I like to watch TikToks or videos, I like to watch people because I'm having fun watching them, or I'm having fun like following along in their life. And I don't want to watch somebody who's perfect. Like, I want to watch somebody through their fails and their triumphs and just being human. Like, I think something like Alex Earle, that I think the reason she blowed up like so much is because she's authentically her, and she's not afraid to mess up or do something silly or crazy. She's just being herself. And I think that's like the best way to grow on a platform, is to just be yourself, because if you're going to try to copy somebody else, it's never going to work. And that's the same thing in the music industry. If you're trying to copy somebody else's sound, it's never going to work, because they're already out there. You got to find yourself, find your sound, find your who you are. Because there already is somebody else out there. You just got to be yourself. And you can't care what anybody else thinks. Because if you are, you'll never make it in the industry. Because you can't care what anybody thinks. You have to just do what you want and be just passionate in what you do.
That was so good.
Thanks, Savit.
I'm here all day. You grew up in a generation where the internet was kind of just always there, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, I remember like iPod touches like really early on. And like everybody, like that was the thing. But yeah, I mean, most of my life I've had technology around.
So obviously it's going to be around for so much longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different, because when I grew up, we didn't really have it.
I know.
And I grew up where I was one of the first people to do it. Like, none of my friends cared about the internet. But so I thought it was crazy. The greatest thing ever. I don't know. Like, what do you think the internet holds for the future for everybody?
I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's only going to expand.
And are these the platforms that are going to be around for the next 10 years?
I mean, I don't think Instagram or YouTube is going anywhere. I mean, I don't think TikTok's going to go anywhere either. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know. I don't think Snapchat's going anywhere. You know, like, I feel like those are like definitely the core. But it wouldn't surprise me if something else pops up. You never know. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard to know. I wish I knew, because then I would hop on that platform and start creating and learning about it, because I think there's so much fun, like, learning a new platform. But
did you hop on that one? It sends a message every day and you have to take a photo.
I never did.
Neither did I.
I never hopped on. What was that called? I don't recall.
I don't know.
I had a really embarrassing story with that, though, because I didn't know how to work it. And I was at the mall and these two girls came up to me. Oh, it was a B-reel. That's
B-reel.
What it was called.
Yes.
They're like, do you want to take a B-reel? And I had no clue how this worked, so I'm just, like, standing there and not taking the photo, and, like, I thought there was, like, the timer. It was so weird. It was so whack. I was so embarrassed, because I was literally standing holding their phone for probably about a minute straight, because I did not know how to work this. And, like, they're standing on the other side, because it's, like, that split perspective thing. Like, if I were holding the phone, it'd be taking the picture of you and me at the same time. But I didn't know how it worked, so I was just, like, standing there for a minute straight, and they're like, you can, like, press the button. And I was like, oh, that's how it works? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay. Like, I never hopped on it, because I don't know. But I also think I dive into so many other social platforms. Like, I do every platform. Snap, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Like, every platform.
And you do it all yourself?
Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody that manages my accounts.
You don't have an editor even?
No.
Even for the shorts?
No. Yeah, I do it all myself. I don't know. I just want my audience to feel connected with me in that way and them to know, like, it is coming from me.
Yeah, it's your brainchild. Mm-hmm. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Recently announced, Megan 2.
Yes.
Did you get the script yet for it?
I am going to leave you with two words that I know everybody hates, but stay tuned. That's all I can really say. Which is annoying, and I'm sorry, but just stay tuned.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
It was so great chatting with you and like seeing how everything works.
It's like I said, it's been a marathon, not a race, but it's fun and I learn new things about it every day.
Guys, all of Jenna's links are going to be linked down below,
so
go check it out. Thanks so much for coming by. Lightweights, out. Sick. That was so good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.